Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From the frozen tundra to your airwaves, it's time for 9 to noon.
It's John Kuhn and Touchdown Packers.
The ultimate midday hangout for Packers talk, Wisconsin sports, and everything in between. He's a Super Bowl champion.
Underneath Kuhn for the touchdown.
A Green Bay legend.
Look at John Kuhn run for the first down and keep it going. Moving the pile all the way to the 6-yard line.
And Lambeau's favorite fullback. John Kuhn. He's bringing the heat, the humor, and just the right amount of chaos. Rami Makhlouf. Together, they're breaking it all down, debating every angle, and having a little fun while doing it. This is 9 to noon on The Fan.
Third and final hour of 9 to noon with John Kuhn and me, Rami Makhlouf, Brandon Snide. On the ones and twos, we'll spend much of this hour previewing game two between the Brewers and the Cubs after the crew was able to take a 1-0 lead in game one of the series and in decided fashion. 9-3 the final, 9 runs in the first 2 innings, 6 runs in the first inning as they batted around the order. Joining us now to talk a little about that game on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. He is the play-by-play announcer on the Brewers Radio Network. Pleasure to welcome in Josh Maurer. Josh, how are you this morning, my man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. What a fun day.
Absolutely.
What a fun time of year.
Absolute pleasure. Yeah, got to love playoff baseball and got to love the way that game one went for the Brewers. And obviously, you had belief in this team. You had some optimism heading into this series. Did you think it would look like that, though, Josh, with 9 runs in the put up in the first 2 innings and kind of an easy win?
No, I've kind of been thinking about this, you know, in the postmortem or the dissection of game one, because we had that day off yesterday after it. So you got a lot of time for reflection. On anybody's bingo card or in anybody's wildest dreams, did you think that you were going to have 11 men bat in the first inning and score 6 runs? That's probably beyond anything that you could have believed would have happened. So the most incredible start to a playoff series that I've ever been a part of. And it, you know, I really think it sent a statement to everybody out there that said, hey, well, the regular season is one thing, but the playoffs are another. And then also all the talking points about the team that had a bye week and hadn't played for 5 days, they were going to be rusty coming out. Well, all of that was dispelled immediately. I mean, it took just, you know, a half hour for the Brewers to absolutely take control of that game, and it was over. As it turns out, it was over after the first inning. That was phenomenal. What a great way to start it. Now it's only one. You got to win 2 more. So you're 33% of the way there to what you want to accomplish here in this series, but it was a great start.
Now, Josh, you mentioned it, 11 up and 6 runs scored in the first inning without a home run. That's unusual as well. And it brings up the conversation of needing the long ball when the playoffs roll around. Is this sustainable for the Brewers in your eyes to be able to manufacture as many runs as they did without hitting the long ball?
I think it is. I know that is, it's a talking point and it's a valid one. I get it. But even Craig Counsell said yesterday, he thinks it might've been the first time ever in the playoffs that a team out-homered another 3-0 and lost. Because the Cubs scored all 3 of their runs on solo home runs. But this has been the way the Brewers have played this year, and they've had one of the best offenses in baseball statistically. And that's over the course of 162 games. So in a very large sample size, this has been sustainable, and it's been a formula that's given them the best record in all of Major League Baseball. So I don't know why you would say it's not sustainable for a playoff run. Now, I understand the counterargument is, well, the pitching is just better. You're facing better every game. You're going to be facing the other team's best pitchers. There's no guys getting in there just to get some work. That's not going to happen. Is it tougher? Yes. But is it possible to keep this going for a long playoff run? I think so. The one thing about the Brewers, and I think the biggest reason that this lineup has been as successful as it's been this year, obviously without a ton of power, is that 1 through 9, they grind out at-bats harder and more ferociously, consistently than just about any team that anybody's ever seen that you can recall. Pat Murphy calls it woodpecking. And it kind of is. They chip away. And these long at-bats, even if they don't immediately bear fruit, over the course of a 4 or 5 inning start, the opposing pitcher is just going to be worn out. And that's worked for them all year. And I don't see any reason why that can't be the same in the playoffs. At least it was in the first game, that's for sure.
Talking with Josh Maurer, play-by-play announcer for the Brewers Radio Network. Follow him on Twitter at Josh Maurer PXP here on the Gruber Hotline. One call, that's all. Josh, you mentioned the one week off with the Brewers getting the bye, and every year it seems, whether we're talking about the Brewers or anybody else, we have the discussion of, is it rest or is it rust? Is that week something that's good or bad for the team? Do you think this Brewers team needed that, the way that we saw the season end? Do you think that it actually worked to their benefit? And how much credit do you give to the manager, Pat Murphy, for how he worked them and prepared them for this series with that week that they had off?
You know, it's interesting. I thought for the first 2 years, this is the fourth season of this format, I thought for the first 2 years it was an incredible disadvantage to the teams that did not play in the wild card rounds. Last year that started to change, and this year it seems like that's continuing from 2024, where the teams who had the bye week are kind of figuring it out what the best mix is to be ready to play again once the bell rings. I give Pat Murphy a ton of credit, but it wasn't just Murph. They have so much data analytics and analyzation going into figuring out what the best way to get really, truly anything done. But to come up with a plan to be ready to play on Saturday, that was an organization-wide effort. And I think it did actually work in the team's favor because, to be honest with you guys, they didn't finish the regular season all that well. For the last few weeks, it was below 500. So I think it was actually a nice time to kind of have a reset, not only just the rest, but kind of just mentally refocusing. And they looked like the team that we saw for so much of July and August in those first couple of innings on Saturday. So it seemed to have worked out very well for the Brewers.
Well, reset really brought some action on Saturday, and they're going to have to most likely reset again with Jackson Chourio and the hamstring. What do you think happens there? Is there a chance that he could play? I feel like it's going to be a stretch, but if he doesn't, how do they adjust?
They've been very noncommittal about it, and truly that's probably because they don't know. The good news is this. If there was an injury to the extent that it was the first time he hurt his hamstring in late July, we would know that by now. I mean, I think the Brewers would have said, hey, you know, he's out. So there's obviously a chance he can play. I think they believe that. I think it's going to come down to how he feels this afternoon. A lot of it, I think, just in reading tea leaves, just looking at some of the things that have been said after the game Saturday and yesterday and the off day, it sounds like the Brewers are pretty confident that it's not a bad injury. But one of the big concerns is then how does Jackson mentally deal with it? When you re-injure or feel like you re-injured the same thing that just happened to you a couple of months ago, I think a lot of it can just be mental. And so does he feel confident that he can go out there and be 100% is probably the bigger question than is he actually 100%. Because, again, just kind of reading between the lines, it feels like to me the Brewers are pretty confident that he is, that he did avoid a pretty bad injury and that he is pretty close to, if not at 100%. So then it's just, all right, how does Jackson handle that? Does he feel confident that he can play the way that he knows he can?
And the good thing is, the thing that's got to make Brewers fans feel good is if you don't have a Jackson Churio, this is a team that reeled off 14 straight wins without him. Not to take anything away from Jackson, but they've shown they can find a way to win almost whoever they send out there.
They can. I would caution minimizing the impact that Jackson's going to have on a playoff series. Just watching this young guy play in the postseason last season against the Mets, and then in the first two innings what he did on Saturday, he just to me looks like one of those bright lights come on and he just steps up to a different level, and I love that. Oh man, this guy, I mean, to think about the fact that he was 20 last year against the Mets and he almost carried the team to a series win, and he's 21 now and he got three hits in the first two innings against three different pitchers. I think this guy answers the bell for the big games. The early evidence is just about as well as anybody. And if the Brewers are going to get where they want to get, if they're going to make a deep run this month, I think Jackson Churio is going to have to be a big part of it. If they're going to win a World Series, I think there's a great chance that he's going to have to be their best player.
Josh, I agree with you. He to me symbolizes in baseball all gas, no brakes, more than anybody else. And I lean back to just a little bit of football here and say, if this guy says he can go, do you have any hesitation in just letting him go? Does that happen in baseball like it does in football? Because I could see this guy going at 23 miles an hour around a base and really injuring that thing. And like you said, he's the guy. He's the catalyst that really spurs up and can carry this team, as seen by last year and early results this year.
For me, it's worth the risk. You know, what are you waiting for, right? I mean, you're in the National League Division Series against one of your biggest rivals, two wins away from getting to the NLCS. So if you feel at least mostly confident that the injury is not too serious and that he can play through it, I think you give it a shot, assuming Jackson's on board with that. That's just me. Totally my opinion. But he's that important to the team. And imagine, guys, if he goes out there and leads off the game tonight, what that's going to do for everybody in that dugout and everybody in that ballpark. All the Brewers fans that are there when he steps to the plate, if he does, I kind of think it's worth the risk. You know, there are ways, too, that you can minimize the possible downside, the risks that playing him tonight would take. You could DH him, potentially, so that would keep him out of the outfield. You could tell him, hey, don't run 100% around the bases. It's still more important to get your at-bats, but we don't want you to aggravate anything. I think you could try those things. Look, the Yankees have been playing for a month and a half now with Aaron Judge in right field telling him not to throw a ball hard. And that's, you know, for the most part worked out for them. So I think there are ways you could do it without putting Jackson in further harm, or at least minimizing the risk of that as best you can.
Yeah, the Cubs are doing it with Kyle Tucker right now, and that calf strain that he's battling. They got him in the DH and put Suzuki out there in right field. Talking with Josh Maurer, play-by-play announcer on the Brewers Radio Network. All right, let's look ahead to game two. Josh, what did you think of the decision to go with Ashby? Is that what you expected? And what do you think Pat has in his pocket besides pancakes to follow up Aaron Ashby in that game tonight?
I don't know. And truly, was I surprised that it's not just a Quinn Priester start? Yes. But this is another one of those situations where you've got an entire analytics department that can get together and figure out what puts the team in the most advantageous position. And they've had a week to go through all the machinations and the statistics. And I'm very confident in everything that comes out of that baseball operations department that it's going to be a well thought out decision. So if it's Ashby and then just a bunch of relievers to get through nine innings, I wouldn't be surprised. If it's Ashby for an inning and then Quinn Priester just comes on in, I wouldn't be surprised about that either. But they've done a very nice job of keeping it very close to the vest, haven't they?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Because we don't know what the pitching plans are truly beyond the first inning of tonight's game. I like Aaron Ashby in this role. I know he's been a starting pitcher with mixed results earlier in his career, but if you look at what he did in a start against the Arizona Diamondbacks back in late August, so just over a month ago, he was used as an opener in a game, and it was an important game at the time, and he was so good, he got you through multiple innings. Pretty effortlessly. This guy's in quite a role right now. The top of that Cubs order is really what scares you right now. With Michael Busch, we saw how he began the game against Freddie Peralta on Saturday. So if you can get one of your best guys that you have confidence in, knows how to handle that role in that first inning, I'm all for it.
My theory, and it's just a theory, Josh, we're all speculating, we don't know, is he goes with Ashby to start, and he's hoping another start like what we saw in Game 1, and then he doesn't have to burn Priester until Game 3, and he can just be his Game 3 starter and run him out there, and today is just your run-of-the-mill bullpen day. Do you think that's a possibility?
I think it is. Yeah, why not? There's different things. You could have multiple scenarios planned for. And that could be one scenario where, yeah, the Brewers get a lead, and you're right, they don't have to use a Quinn Priester today. Now, do we expect it to be 9-1 after the first two innings? Doubtful. The Cubs are going to throw a shot to Imanaga. He's a very good pitcher. He's capable. And he's had a couple of really nice starts against the Brewers this year. So I do think it's probably a lower scoring start to the game, but who knows? Maybe they do get a lead, and then you can change gears and go with. Look, there are some length options in the bullpen besides Quinn Priester. Chad Patrick, the rookie, who was a starter most of the year, but Chad, when he moved into the relief role in September, looks really, really good. He could give you multiple innings. Jacob Mizorowski sitting out there, that's got to be a tantalizing option for Pat Murphy. Can you imagine if you get a lead and you can throw in Miz coming out with 102 miles an hour? That's not a bad option either if you feel like going that route. So there's different ways that the Brewers could play this.
Are you in the prediction game, Josh, or too superstitious for that? You want to just say it's going to be a great game and say farewell, or do you have a prediction for tonight?
I have no prediction. There's nothing in playoff baseball. There's very little that could happen that would surprise me. So, no, I'm not going to make a prediction other than to say, this is such a big game and such a big opportunity for the Brewers. If you can get this game tonight, man, what a great position you've put yourself in. So I'm excited about the opportunity that awaits them, and I can't wait to see what happens.
That's Josh Maurer, play-by-play announcer for the Brewers Radio Network. Catch him for the call for Game 2 tonight, and you can follow him on Twitter at Josh Maurer, PXP. Josh, really appreciate the time and the insight, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, it was great to be on with you guys. Appreciate it.
Let's do it again. Josh. And he joins us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. We got to hit a quick break. On the other side, the biggest story from the NFL this weekend might have had nothing to do with the game or anybody who still plays the game. We'll discuss this wild story right after this. You're listening to 9 to Noon with John Kuhn, me, Rami Makhlouf, and we're back right after this from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.